Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank You that in Christ Jesus we can stare death in the face, knowing that we shall triumph over it. We cannot imagine what it is like to enter into the bliss of being with You. We long for it with great anticipation, but we must patiently wait and work while it is day. We must indeed gird up the loins of our mind and be sober to the end. May we realize and know that You are the great and the good God, and that You know our frame, that we are as but dust. And at the same time, You strengthen us by Your grace and power, and that You work in us to will and to do, and that we continue to persevere in grace and holiness, to serve You with all fullness. The work is of You. If left to ourselves, we would fall by the wayside. We would perish by the way, running off into all sorts of errors. And now as we look into Your Word, we ask that You would give us grace and wisdom to bring forth those things that are honoring to You and beneficial to the saints. Again, we ask for healing mercies upon those that are sick, traveling mercies upon those that are traveling. We ask, Father, that in the completion and the closing of the house for Brother Jeff and Sister Esther and their move and relocation, and that of Sister Sharon's as well, that You would bless all of that to go smoothly, and the transition would go smoothly, and everyone would be settled again as we continue to travel here in this world. That we would hold loosely to our bosom the perishing things of this world, that we might hide Thy Word in our hearts, that we not sin against You. And we ask it in Christ Jesus. Amen. As you know, we have been looking somewhat at the reward of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And we looked, first of all, that we please God only by faith. That's the only way that we can please God. Now we're looking at the fact that God is a rewarder. And we're looking at a sub-point of that in the point, kind of a closing part, but we want to look at that, where that those salvations and blessings come from God and are not given to us because of our works, yet God rewards our service of faith unto Him. I want to reiterate that God rewards our service of faith unto Him. Salvation is not of works. It is of grace, and solely by grace. We're looking at that, and we saw that God is a rewarder, and we were looking at some passages that reiterate the fact that God rewards. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and look at a verse there. We have already looked at several in 1 Corinthians, Revelation, Matthew, Luke, and other places where it says that God rewards. Sometimes the Scripture stated that God rewards the wicked by turning them into hell. But He also rewards the righteous. And some would say that that reward is salvation. Some would say that the rewards we receive are only now. Well, we have seen already in some of the passages that the rewards are much more than just salvation, or is it just now? In fact, turn with me back for just a second to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to reiterate that we're looking at something more than salvation, as well as it's more than something in this life. First Corinthians chapter 3, where it says in verse 13, it already says that God up above, that He would try every man's work to see what it was. But in verse 13, "For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." He didn't say today will declare it. The day shall declare it. And all you have to do is get out your Strong's Concordance and look up how God uses the word the day. The day. And it's implication of the day of judgment. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So he's not talking about salvation. Whether a man's work is, he's talking about God's children here. If a man's work abide, he'll receive a reward. If the man's work perishes in the fire, the man will be saved, but he doesn't get the reward. So we see here that just in this verse, without going back through all the other verses again, we see in this that God rewards people for their service of faith. Now, some of the rewards are in this life. I'm not denying that. But some of the rewards are in the world to come. You say, well, what's that going to be like? We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. But it does implicate in one place that he that is faithful over a few things, he shall be made ruler over many things. Now, turn back to Colossians chapter 3. We want to see again that God rewards. That's what we're looking at. God does reward. Salvation is not of rewards. Salvation is not of works. God's children who are saved are also rewarded for their service of faith unto Him. You say, well, we don't deserve it. You're right. Therefore, our rewards are of grace too. Our rewards are of grace. And if you serve God for the reward, you won't get it, because you're serving for the wrong motive. So, lest anyone would say that I'm preaching for rewards, they've missed the boat. In Colossians chapter 3, God, through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, tells us in verse 17, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So whatever we do, we're to do it as unto the Lord. We're to do it in His name. And then he talks about the wives, how that they're to live in that submissive role as unto the Lord. Tells the husband to not be bitter against their wives and to love them as it is fit unto the Lord. Children are to obey their parents unto the Lord in the same in this. For this is well pleasing to the Lord. Children, if you ever want to say, what can I do to please God? Obey mom and daddy. That's how simple it is. You say, that's not always easy. That's right. But when you get up to be mamas and daddies, you'll find out that that was a whole lot easier than it is being mamas and daddies. But anyway. Then he says in verse 22, servants, obey your masters. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If you're a slave, obey your master. Didn't say try to get free. And he says, don't do it with eye service according to the flesh to please men, but doing it in singleness of heart, fearing God. And then he reiterates again, whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Why? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Here again, he talks about a reward of the inheritance. You say, well, the reward is the inheritance. If it is, that's all right. That's all right. But we've already seen that there are some that are saved that lose their reward. So I believe the reward of the inheritance may be something that comes along with the inheritance that is more than the inheritance. But whatever the case may be, whether one is right or the other, the point still remains God rewards for faithful service. God rewards for faithful service. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're looking at how God in His Word uses the word reward. Verse 18. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, what this is teaching here is that you pay the preacher. In short, that's all that it's saying. That's what it's all about. And you pay the preacher according as his labor is worthy. Some preachers shouldn't be paid because they don't labor. They don't labor in the kingdom. They don't labor in the Word. And it's quite obvious that they don't labor in the Word, and therefore they shouldn't be paid. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is, the laborer is worthy of his reward. Preacher said, well, I don't preach for pay. He's not supposed to. The preacher that preaches for pay is preaching for the wrong motive. I'm not a hireling. I refuse to take a salary from a congregation. Now, if a congregation wants to pay me a certain amount, and they say that they want to pay a certain amount, that's all right. But I'm not going to go to a congregation and say, unless you pay me so much, I won't preach. Neither will I go to a congregation and say, unless you pay me, I won't preach. That's not the point. The preacher doesn't preach for pay. Nevertheless, he's supposed to be paid. The laborer is worthy of his reward. We saw this morning, the laborer was paid. He was rewarded for his work. But the laborer is worthy for his pay. You don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And much, we're not going to preach on ministerial giving. We're just showing how that if a man works, he ought to be paid for his work. And then lastly, we were looking at this word reward and being a rewarder. 2 John, the second epistle of John, we see one last illustration. This word reward has the idea of paying somebody back. God pays back His children. Verse 7, 2 John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. John exhorted the saints to self-examination and to diligent service, that he would receive a full reward. What is that full reward? It could be many things. It could be the fact of that he sees that his labor is not in vain. It could be like the Apostle Paul was talking about in the day of judgment, that the church, the saints of Thessalonica was his crown and joy. Some way, somehow, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 6, where God is not unrighteous to forget your labor that you do toward the saints, God is of such a God that those who diligently seek Him, not the reward, those who diligently seek Him, God's going to reward them. Whether it's in this world or in the world to come, it matters not. God will reward. You say, why would He do that? God gives incentives to His children as we natural parents give incentives to our earthly children to motivate them to service. Sure, salvation is of grace. Sure, God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. How does He do all of that? Sure, that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But how does all of that work together? We can't explain all of that. We don't have the philosophical mentality to comprehend, much less explain, the being of God and all of His workings. We cannot do that. And though it's all of grace and we receive no credit, yet God gives His children incentives to motivate them to service. Let's look at a few passages. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Rewards and obedience and incentives do not contradict grace. They complement grace. And grace complements them. Luke 14, our Lord said, verse 12, Luke 14, 12, then said He also to him that bade him. In other words, someone had asked the Lord to come and eat with him. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbor, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. Now remember what recompense means? It means to be paid back. Now, He's not saying that it's wrong to invite friends and relatives, but He's giving the injunction that we ought to invite people to our homes who cannot pay us back. Or if they can pay us back, we should invite people to our homes not for the purpose of being paid back. You know how it is in families and at certain holiday seasons. Well, they gave me a gift, I need to give them a gift. Or they gave me a birthday gift, I need to give them a birthday gift. Or I gave them a gift, they never did give me one. You know, that whole scenario is wrong. That whole scenario is wrong. It's not Christian to think like that, much less talk like that. Our Lord said, when you're going to make a meal, don't invite those that can pay you back. Verse 13, but when thou makest a feast, called the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Notice what he says. Here's the verse that I want, verse 14. Here's an incentive that God gives. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. They can't pay you back. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You will be paid back at the resurrection of the just. Some say, well, the resurrection is the payment. It may be. I think it's more than that. But either way, the payback will be at the resurrection of the just. The resurrection of the just. Some people say, well, all of the payback's in this life. No, some of it's in the world to come. And you need to realize that. Our Lord said so right here in this verse. You say, well, I don't believe that's what it says. Well, you don't believe the Bible because that's what it says. It simply says exactly what it says. So we find that our Lord gives this incentive to motivate us to service. To motivate us to service. Turn to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. We find another incentive. Talks about the weak brother. The weak brother. Here, the weak brother is the one that thinks they shouldn't eat meat. What do we do? Well, I'm going to invite them over to supper. We're going to have meat on the table, whether they like it or not. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. Here's the way it is, ideally. Ideally, here's the way it should be. You're going to invite your neighbor over. You try to fix a meal for him that he would like. Unless you have a mutual understanding that we're going to have meat on the table, but it's not there to offend you. It's just there for those that like to eat it. And if you don't want to eat it, that's just fine. If you have a mutual relationship like that, then that would be ideal. But if you're going to have the brother over that only eats herbs, then you have the meal for herbs. And if the person has you over that likes meat, they'll fix meat for you when you come. They won't eat it themselves, but they'll fix it for you. That's the Christian spirit. That's the Christian spirit. Both tries to work with each other in order to keep from offending the other. And the same thing with certain days. Now, he's not talking about pagan holidays. He's not saying if a man celebrates a pagan holiday, that's all right. But I don't want to get off into the days and the meats and all of that situation. But I want to begin in verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord's. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Now here's the verse that I wanted. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul didn't say, now, you unbelievers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but we believers are not. Paul is writing to believers, and he said, we believers shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God at the judgment seat of Christ. And thereby we shall be rewarded. You say, well, it doesn't say so here. No, but let's put it in conjunction with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we read about the judgment seat of Christ in Romans 15, 10. 14:10, excuse me. Now we're going to read more about the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For he says, for we, again, we believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now remember, salvation is of grace. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about being rewarded and God giving incentives to motivate us to work. I like to say to motivate us to service according to faith. To motivate us to service according to faith. Beloved, let me assure you that each one shall give an account of his stewardship before God. I believe that I'm going to have to give an account of my ministry to Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that. I believe there will be recognition, either good or bad, according to my faithfulness unto the Lord and the ministry of His Word. I believe that for you, whatever God has called you to do and to be. It says here that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You say, well, I believe that's in this life. You're still given the motivation to service, even if you think it's in this life. I believe the judgment seat of Christ is in the future. I believe the day shall declare it. And the day shall try every man's work of what sort it is. As we saw earlier, the day shall declare every man's work. And if his work survives, he'll receive a reward. If his work is burned, he will be saved, yet he loses his reward. You say, well, that's just too carnal for me. Well, what are you going to do with the Scriptures? They either mean what they say, or you're going to have to explain them away. As a lot of people explain everything away in the Bible. In fact, their great delight is saying what the Bible doesn't say rather than saying what it says. You run across them at all times. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning at verse 6, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." I just want to stop there. Notice, God motivates us to service, to the service of giving, in order, by saying that if we give bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. If we give bountifully, we shall also reap bountifully. God has given us this incentive to give. And if we don't, we'll reap sparingly. What are you going to reap? God's blessings. Or what are you going to lose? God's blessings. Now, what is giving? Is giving something that you work up within yourself? Notice what God has said about giving in verse 8. He calls it a grace. The fact that you are willing to give of your substance, the fact that you're willing to communicate not only to the defraying of the church's expenses, or to the support of the ministry, or by giving individually to people that are in need, or however it is, however you give, whatever you give, whenever you give, it gives us an incentive to exercise this grace that He has worked in us. You see, giving is still of grace. Man can't take a credit for anything except for the wrong. We can take credit for the sin. We can take credit for the wrong. You say, "Well, I take credit for what I do." Well, you might take credit for what you do, but you better give the credit to God. That's where it resides, within Him. And He says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And God loves a cheerful giver. Here it says, you don't do it grudgingly. Well, I'll go ahead and give. That's grudgingly. You say, "Well, I'd give it if they needed it. But they don't need it, so I'm not going to give it." He says, you don't wait and give out of necessity. You don't wait till there's a need. I've heard of some people saying, "Well, I'd give more to the church, but they really don't need it. They got everything they need." That's not the point. You purpose in your heart. I heard the story of during the times of the Depression, a minister was going and preaching and barely had enough, could scrape up enough gas money to go to the church and preach. And one old brother kept coming by every Sunday as he was leaving out the door. "Brother, that sure was a good sermon. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you." You know, saying that every sermon, every Sunday. And finally he got tired of it, and he come by the preacher that Sunday and said, same thing. And he said, "Brother, that sure was a good sermon. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you." He said, "How about starting with 5? The point was, people are always willing to give what they don't have, but they don't want to give what they do have. God loves a cheerful giver. Does God love you? You say, I don't know. Maybe you need to give a little more. You say, I don't know. God loves a cheerful giver. Are you giving? You say, yeah, I'm giving. Are you cheerful about it? Sure, I just delight to give. Well, God loves you. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you feel like it. God loves a cheerful giver. If you're giving cheerfully, as unto Him, God loves it. And He motivates you for that. Don't you enjoy the love of God? I certainly do. Galatians chapter 6. Bet you wonder why I read Galatians. Galatians 6. In our scripture reading. Galatians chapter 6. Along the same line. This is talking about ministerial giving. But I'm mainly using it for giving. To show God's incentive. Galatians 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We might say that in the modern day vernacular. For those that are being taught by a minister, you need to pay the preacher that teaches you. The word communicate means to give. That's what it means. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice that verse is set in the context of paying the preacher. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Beloved, our financial standing. Our financial status may very well be as to how we have been giving. 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver. By the way, that 2 Corinthians 9 had to do with Paul collecting money for the poor saints at Jerusalem. That didn't have anything to do with preachers being paid there. This does. But the point that we're looking at, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. As to how you use your money in giving has a direct bearing on whether you're sowing to the Spirit or whether you are sowing to the flesh. God gives us an incentive here to sow to the Spirit, that we shall reap life everlasting. Sowing to the Spirit, that we shall reap life everlasting. Did not our Lord say in the Sermon on the Mount that by giving you're laying up treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt, neither do thieves break through and steal? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You ever thought about the fact of lending money to the Lord? That's what it said. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. You think the Lord's ever going to pay his debts? You think the Lord's indebted to folks? No. I'm made to think of a old gentleman. I met him back in the 60s in Dawson Springs, Kentucky. I never did remember his name. I wasn't around him that much. I met his daughter again. Hadn't seen him quite a while. When Brother Tom Hart, they had the 50th anniversary of his 50 years in the ministry down at Lebanon a few years ago, and his daughter was down there. And because what I did, I asked her about a certain gentleman, and she said, "Well, that's my father." But he wasn't very rich, wasn't rich at all, really. But I tell you, when you preach, he would always sit over here in the church building. And when you preach, I mean, it was just like he would soak it up like a sponge. You know, somebody like that, it's really easy to preach to. You know, it's just like, give me more, give me more, give me more. If I remember correctly, he had lost a leg. And I think he was a coal miner at one time. But I had found out this about him. One illustration, for example, there was somebody that was in need, and he had done this more than once, not the same numerical dollar figure. But there was someone in need, and he only had $100, and they needed $100, and he gave them his last $100. Went home, told his wife. She said, "Well, what are we going to do for food?" He said, "I don't know. I believe God will provide." And God provided. And that had happened to him more than once. Well, what am I saying is, part of his pay, while in this life in particular, he always had plenty. But not only that, his soul was always fed through the preaching of the Word. I mean, he soaked up the Word. He just loved. You could just see the great desire in his heart to hear of Christ and to hear the Word of God being preached. God pays you back. God pays you back. God rewards you according to your service. And if you're not being rewarded, I believe it's now, I believe it'll be in the world to come too. If you're not being rewarded, it may be that you're not serving God out of faith. You may not be serving Him at all, but you may be serving Him just out of mere legalism or dry formality. Beloved, we don't want that. We want to love God by faith and serve Him and cling to Him by faith. We've already looked at the fact that it is by faith that we can serve the Lord. I'm not going to enlarge upon this, but I want to point out that rewards are promised to the wicked. We know that the wages of sin is death. But let's look at a few passages. Matthew 16:27. The wicked shall be rewarded too. Matthew 16. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. He'll reward the good, but He'll reward the wicked as well. Matthew 23:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. They'll be rewarded. They'll receive the greater damnation. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We could have enlarged a lot of passages, but decided not to. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And then lastly in the book of Revelation, Revelation 18, and verse 6, talking about the fall of Babylon. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled with her, double. And then in the 20th chapter of Revelation, I know some people said this is not real, but we'll find out someday. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And lastly, Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. God rewards. God is a rewarder, not only of the righteous, but also of the unrighteous. We shall lastly look, not today, but we shall look later, how that God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Seek the Lord. Seek Him with all your heart. Diligently seek Him. God has given you incentives to seek Him. Let us pray. Oh, Father, bless us not to be weary in well-doing, knowing that we shall reap in due season if we faint not. He that endureth to the end shall be delivered, the Scriptures say. But at the same time, Father, we thank You for the rewards that You give us, not only in this life, but in the world to come. We don't deserve it. We know we don't deserve it. We can't even imagine it. In fact, Father, though I have preached what I have preached, I cannot begin to imagine what it would be like to be rewarded. It just seems like that there's no need for it. But yet we cannot go against the clear teaching of Your holy Word. Whatever it will be just. We long for the day to be with You. And bless us to keep our eye upon Thee. And bless us to diligently seek You, worrying not at all of what the reward is. In Jesus' name, Amen. Have a song on your heart. Number 291. This is really what the Christian wants.